Welcome to On, Cultivating Student Engagement in Higher Ed, a podcast originally produced by Dr. Katie Burkow, former Assistant Professor of Management Information Systems in the Accounting and MIS Department at the University of Delaware. I'm the new host, Lauren Kelly, an instructional designer in UDIT Academic Technology Services. This reimagined podcast will still provide teaching perspectives related to instructors and students, but will shift toward how technology and innovation add value to the teaching and learning practice. As previous On listeners, you can expect to become better acquainted with support services available to you, regardless of course modality. The pandemic brought many of the pre-existing disparities, inequities, and gaps within higher education to the forefront, driving the reintroduction of old conversations about the need for higher education to change, evolve, and become more adaptable to learners already in or looking to enter the workforce. One of those lost conversations involved the concept of micro-credentials, which is really not new. Systems of acknowledgement and recognition have been around in various renditions for quite some time. This podcast will focus on micro-credentials in higher education. Today's guest is Vic Wang, Director of Non-Credit Professional Programs for the University of Delaware's Division of Professional and Continuing Studies. Vic oversees the creation, management, and successful implementation of all online and face-to-face non-credit programs, certificates, workshops, conferences, and customized programs. Prior to serving in his current role in UDPCS, Vic served as Manager of Customized Learning and Non-Credit Program Coordinator, where he was responsible for the management of business and IT-related programs. He has more than 13 years of higher education experience, primarily working with adult learners and community college transfer students. Prior to coming to the University of Delaware, Vic served as the Assistant Director of Community and University Partnerships for the University of Maryland Global Campus, where he managed the UMGC Completion Scholarship Program, which is the largest scholarship program designed for community college transfer students in the state of Maryland. Vic earned his Master's of Business Administration degree from Old Dominion University and his Bachelor of Science degree with triple majors in Management, Marketing, and Global Trade from High Point University. Thank you for joining us for this episode focused on micro-credentials. Would you talk a little bit about PCS and the micro-credentials and micro-credentials for our listeners, breaking down what micro-credentials are and or how PCS defines them and why are they trending so much since the pandemic?
Sure. Hi, Lauren. Thanks again for the introduction and having me on the podcast. So first, let's talk a little bit more about who UDPCS is and what we do. So we have a long name, so you will hear me say UDPCS for short or PCS for short. So we have been serving our learners since 1952. We have been currently housed under the Graduate College since 2019, and we report up to Dr. Lou Rossi, who is the Dean of the Graduate College here at UD. Our mission is really simple. PCS empowers learners to achieve their educational goals throughout life. So in short, PCS educates for life. As you said in your intro, I am the Director of Non-Credit Professional Programs. So my team and I are responsible to oversee and manage a portfolio of non-credit programs. We serve our learners in two main ways. First, through our open enrollment program, where we serve individuals who are looking to reskill and upskill. While our second way to serve our learner is through our customized learning program, where we primarily serve companies or organizations who are looking to provide training opportunities and employee development opportunity for their organization and their employees. Most of our program focuses on delivering pinpoint knowledge towards a specific area for our learner. Because we focus on these pinpoint knowledge rather than a broad training approach, this is where the term micro-credential really comes in. When our learners successfully complete a program now, whether it's through open enrollment or customized training, we typically will issue them a certificate of completion. The certificate of completion is essentially their new micro-credential. As you said earlier, micro-credential are not new, and there are tons of micro-credential being issued out each year. And UD being one of the issuer, the term micro-credential actually refers to the credential that one would receive when they complete, quote, bite-sized, if you would, educational experience rather than an entire degree, typically a course or program. Upon completion of this bite-sized training, event, course, whatever you want to call it, continuing education program, the learner or the student will get some sort of recognition for their newly gained skill, knowledge, and ability. And this is typically come in a format of certificate of completion or digital badge, which we'll dive into a little bit. Micro-credentials are a great way to help people to showcase their upskilling and reskilling efforts. Before the pandemic, there were plenty of micro-credentials issued already, such as from us, UDPCS, when someone completed one of our non-credit certificate program or short courses in the form of certificate of completion. One of the positive things that came out of the pandemic for the past few years is that we have had seen a terrific job market, especially for any job seekers out there. As companies continue to find talent, this has been a job seekers market. In a job seekers market, as you know, many job seekers took what take short programs such as our certificate program to get their knowledge in and get a credential knowledge quickly and was able to get a job or promoted in the meantime. Micro-credentials are trending because it can offer a really good return on investment, both time and money from the learner's part versus getting a whole nother degree, like an advanced degree, like master or even doctoral degree. Micro-credentials can be earned in a matter of days or months, not years, typically speaking. Some micro-credentials can take years, but typically not. The flexibility, accessibility, and affordability are really the three main advantage area that micro-credentials are popular and why they have been, you know, they have been more than popular than ever before, especially since the pandemic.
I think the key thing that you mentioned there is that this flexibility to upskill and reskill or explore a customized learning program through your employer makes perfect sense for training and development opportunities, regardless of the customer need. This makes me really, really kind of think about having noticed a lot of movement on LinkedIn in the early stages of the pandemic up until recently, where LinkedIn users post their announcements of their credentials earned and or share their accomplishments in the form of promotions as a result of those newly earned credentials. And reviewing PCS offerings, would PCS's customized learning and Elevate Delaware offerings be considered UD's micro-credentialed opportunities for learners?
So for training that we develop and implement under the customized learning for companies and organizations, most of the time, we would issue a micro-credential in the form of certificate of completion. That was in paper, but recently, a UD-branded badge or digital certificate of completion. Now, you also asked about the Elevate Delaware program. I do want to make a distinguishment here that Elevate Delaware program, rather than a program, it's more of a funding source rather than a training program. So I'm glad you brought up Elevate Delaware because this is such a great program started by State of Delaware that provides up to $10,000 in total funding for any individuals to enroll in a non-approved non-credit program. And it could be programs, multiple programs, as up to $10,000 in cumulative value. So in order to qualify, someone who has to apply and must meet these following criteria, they have to be employed full-time in the state of Delaware. Their employer must employ less than 51 people in their organization. Their employer have to be subject to Delaware income tax. And I do want to backtrack for a moment, is their employer or they could be themselves, as the employer could actually be outside of state Delaware. Then the last thing is they have to be accepted, approved non-credit certificate program for their enrollment. If they meet these four criteria, once they are approved, they actually will work with Delaware Department of Labor, who is actually the administrator for this program and provides the funding and will pay for the program on their behalf via a payment voucher to the providers. So the program should be valid actually through June 30th of 2024, as the funding is first come, first serve. So I would recommend anyone who are interested in pursuing this funding option to contact Department of Labor, because this is first come, first serve. And we certainly have seen quite a few folks taking advantage of this program in our non-credit certificate programs.
Wow. Well, I definitely learned something new. Just as an additional question here, would this be something that faculty and or staff should be sharing as an opportunity with their students or employees, kind of like a paid internship opportunity?
Unfortunately, no. Okay. The reason why is that this really the sticking point for the funding has to be someone must be already employed in a full-time position. The Elevate Delaware program is really meant to help small companies, small organizations with employees less than 51 people. There are two main, you know, underpinning objectives for this program. One is to help smaller organization to develop their employee further, because typically, as you know, large university like ours has generous tuition benefits, allow you and I or any of our staff or faculty to take courses either for free or significantly reduce cost. But so often the small organization cannot compete with a larger organization here in state Delaware. So they don't have tuition remission or tuition support policy. So this is one way the state is trying to level the playing field, really allowing the small organization to level up their employees. And second, because this is such a job seekers market, as we talked about earlier, this is also a retention strategy. The state is helping small organizations to retain their employees, because often we all know that in a hyper-competitive market, small organization may not be as pay competitive as large organization. So sometimes they kind of lose out to their employees because they can go somewhere else and make more money. So this is state's effort to help them as a retention strategy. It's really a great program. So again, I highly encourage any listener that meets these criteria. Again, they have to be employed full-time, cannot be a part-time. So our students will not qualify. They have to work for an organization that either they have to owe state of Delaware income tax or their organization pays state of Delaware income tax, and their organization has to have less than 51 people, and they have to be in a non-credit program. But those are very, very easy qualifying criteria. And finally, this is one, probably the only program I have seen that doesn't have an income cap. So you could actually be, you know, in an extremely, you have a great salary, but you really want to take this training, say, in our project management program. Come on over, apply for the funding as long as you meet those criteria. Once they approve, the Department of Labor will send us a payment voucher, and it's not subject to an income cap. So, which is a really, really great program.
It sounds like it's a win-win for all parties involved in terms of this type of program.
Absolutely.
Wow. And that's great that it's also helping small businesses, where we know with the pandemic, small businesses took a really big hit.
Yes.
And there's been a lot of help to try to encourage small businesses to be retained and retain their personnel as well. So this is great. Thanks for sharing that. I learned something new again in relation to micro-credentialing, but from a different standpoint. So now that we know about micro-credentials and micro-credentials specifically at UD, what role do you think PCS plays in the current micro-credentials craze for learners?
That's a really great question, Lauren. So as I mentioned earlier in my introduction, PCS has been serving our learner for over 71 years. So we have certainly issued a fair amount of micro-credential in the past. Again, mostly in the form of certificate of completion, print out in a piece of paper, and some folks are proudly displaying that, I'm sure, in their office or home office or whatever the case might be. However, as we continue to innovate and evolve and really listening and evaluating our learners' needs today and based on the market demand of today, you know, that's where we come in, because we want to stay relevant and we want to serve our learner the best. I've talked about how we're now issuing UD branded digital badges. And that's one of the roles that UD PCS play in the current micro-credential craze for learners. In late 2022, we became the first department at University of Delaware to distribute these digital badges or digital certificate on behalf of the University of Delaware. And our non-credit professional development program graduates were the first ones here at UD to receive these valuable digital credentials. The UD-branded digital badges and certificate have replaced our paper-based certificate for the first time since we've been issuing them for the past 70 years. So you can say that is certainly a milestone that we have achieved in 2022. Digital badges are really a great way for individuals to showcase their accomplishments, skills, or earned credential, which can be stored, displayed, accessed, and verified online. And they typically come in form of a graphical representation of those. The digital badge can be earned in a variety of ways, in a variety of environments, such as in-person, online, or hybrid education or training formats. Digital badges are part of a larger credentialing ecosystem, and it's really designed to be shared and displayed online. These badges or credentials serve as verifiable documentation for individuals' achievements. So, Lauren, in short, a digital badge serves as both the recognition and digital proof of someone's micro-credential.
It's really easy to forget about those physical certificates that we have always received in the past for credentials that we earned, since there's so much focus on digital form now. This ability to share out digital credentials as recognition and digital proof of a micro-credential, like you mentioned, is, again, that's that presence of like social media, right? LinkedIn, right? We talked about this earlier, where you get a lot of kind of members of the LinkedIn community posting to let everybody know, hey, I did this and I got this credential, or I was promoted as a result of this. It could very easily be added to their work experience as well as showcasing their expertise. So what are your thoughts on the evolution of digital badges and certifications? Share your perspective on how these might be viewed as competition for the degree system.
Sure. So in my opinion, I don't think the evolution of digital badges as competition for the degree system, because the digital badge is simply a graphical representation of someone's accomplishment, skills, or earned credential, which then is stored, displayed, accessed, and verified online. Here at University of Delaware, we actually made a decision early on with the Registrar's Office to only issue digital badges towards non-credit achievements. For certifications, they definitely be viewed as a competition to the degree system. I'm not sure if you have heard the Google Career Certificate. These really emerged during the pandemic. They are doing really well, and I know there are a lot of learners in there. So right now, Google currently offers 5 different certificate programs that's created by Googlers. So the value proposition for these programs, they require no experience. The learners can complete at their own pace. So they're all self-paced asynchronous course. Each certificate can be completed somewhere between 3 to 6 months. Some take longer, some can take shorter. The certificate are actually being housed on Coursera and being hosted on Coursera. So Google is hosting them. And in order to take the program, all you have to do is pay the monthly subscription cost to Coursera, which is, I believe last time I looked at it, was $39 a month. So let's do some simple math, right? So this means the average cost to complete one of these career certificate is somewhere between $117 to $234. And that's using about 3 to 6 months. Again, that's what Google is saying. It's the average time to complete these. Upon completion, each of the learner will get a certificate of completion or micro-credential in digital format. So in addition, these program graduates, once they finish, they actually are now eligible to apply and interview with Google Career Certificate Employer Consortium. Think about that, Lauren. These consortium are made of 150 plus companies who essentially told Google and pledged, hey, if you finish the certificate, we will interview and hire these program graduates, right? So the reported immediate salary for these entry-level position, at least according to Google, it's about $72,000. So let's take a look at this again, right? So someone invests in as little as $117 and 3 months of their time, complete a Google Creative Branded Certificate program, interview with, say, Intel, who is one of their partners in the consortium, and get hired by them as part of the consortium and make $72,000. Okay, I would say that definitely serves as the competition for the degree system. And that's just one of the examples, right? As we are seeing continued disruption within the higher education system and institution who rely heavily on tuition dollar for degrees.
Wow. Thanks for sharing that example, Vic. I mean, I think that truly helps to highlight the significance and, like you said, the value, but really talking about that flexibility for learners. And that's a great point about the attractiveness of a certificate as a possible example of that kind of stackable educational experience, potentially that learner or that employee could continue to broaden their areas of expertise, move up their career ladder without the cost of a degree and paying off student loans, more importantly. So keeping everything in mind that you have already shared with us, what do faculty and higher education administrators need to know, or what should they know about micro-credentials?
So first, I think our faculty and higher education administrators should know that micro-credential is not a fad. They're here to stay, and they are actually gaining more popularity than ever before. Second, I think UD and other higher education institutions should find ways to embrace micro-credential and to utilize micro-credential potentially as a pathway to serve new students. The traditional student applicant pool has been really decreasing steadily for the past 5 to 10 years. So in addition, as you know, more and more companies are dropping degree requirement for entry-level position. Here in our region, JPMorgan Chase, Bank of America have all dropped entry-level requirement for a bachelor's degree. All of those things are disruptive towards a traditional education system that still rely on degree and tuition the students pay to earn that degree. However, there's really an attractive opportunity here for UD and other higher education institutions to utilize micro-credential to offer a stackable education experience. What do I mean by that? I think you hinted at the stackable education model earlier. So a stackable education experience essentially breaks down the larger degree down into chunk learning or bite-sized chunk learning and allow the learner to learn at their own pace, kind of borrowing a playbook from Google for lack of a better term. Each micro-credential they earn will stack on top of each other, and eventually the stack will equal to an undergraduate or graduate degree, essentially. However, just to clarify, you already mentioned earlier that a stackable education experience is a really good way to go. Each micro-credential they earn can stack on top of each other, and eventually the stack can equal to an undergrad or a graduate certificate and or even a degree. Here at UD, digital badges are only issued for non-credit purpose only, as we made this joint decision with our registrar earlier when we first started exploring digital badges. If we really want to go for the moon here, we could even consider building a pathway from non-credit micro-credential to credit, essentially allowing our students to earn a college degree using a mixture of credit and non-credit learning together. I'm not sure if this is actually going to happen in the near future here at UD, but hey, you never know, as there are always disruption and innovation within the higher education system.
A stackable education experience, dropping the degrees from entry-level positions. I think that these forms of inclusion and flexibility have also been around for some time. So those are also kind of not new either, right? This makes sense to me how higher education has intermittently kind of highlighted some of these things historically, but then those conversations kind of fall off the table. Innovative companies like Google that you mentioned, Apple, Netflix, they don't require degrees, right, for positions. Now there's some states like Pennsylvania and Maryland that have removed degree requirements to help with record numbers of unfilled government jobs. So this also makes me think about learning experiences outside of a degree or a certification type experience. Do micro-credentials play a role in prior learning assessment? And if so, what are your thoughts on that role? What's the difference between the two terms and terms of their evidence of learning, and does this impact PCS in any way?
That's a really good question. And yes, absolutely. I think micro-credential can actually help prior learning assessment more straightforward and easier on both the learner and the evaluator side. When someone requests a prior learning assessment in order to earn credits, they're asking someone at the institution they're requesting credit from to essentially evaluate their past learning. And the past learning could be a combination of things such as ACE guides, standardized tests such as CLAP, IB, DSST, you know, all those things together. It could also include a military training experience, professional certification, other type of experience that they have accumulated during their career. Most of the micro-credential have clearly defined learning objective or learning outcome, just like when we build micro-credential for our non-credit program, we demonstrate those learning outcome and learning objectives. So it's very easy for anyone verifying the credential to see. And these predefined learning objectives can be measured against the course they're trying to get credit for, which makes the evaluator job a lot easier. In addition, should the evaluator need any additional information, most of the time, they can actually just contact the issuer of the micro-credential to gather more information, such as a syllabus. And this really will help speed up the process. However, having micro-credential do not automatically equates to credit earned in a prior learning assessment, because these micro-credentials still need to be evaluated to ensure quality learning and mastery skill happen. Here at UD, my boss, Dr. George Irvine, is actually currently working with a team and the registrar's office to create a prior learning assessment policy to make the process more standardized. UD currently doesn't do a lot of prior learning assessment, but we're hoping to change that with the new process.
Well, this is really great to know that there's a prior learning assessment policy that's in the works as another alternative for recognition and proof of learning mastery. We look forward to hearing more as this develops. So kind of moving forward, what are some untapped areas that PCS is looking to incorporate for the future with micro-credentials?
We know most of our learners who are working adults that are looking for flexible, affordable, and accessible programs. We're constantly evaluating our program to ensure we're meeting the needs of our learners and our program stay career relevant. We will maximize UD's digital badge and certificate as a way to provide our learner with micro-credential so that they can proudly showcase these digitally, such as on social media platforms like LinkedIn, Facebook, and other platforms they use. PCS is actually looking out to build more stackable credential to offer our learner the flexibility they're looking for. Lastly, we're working with multiple stakeholders here on campus, such as the Graduate College, program chairs, and the registrar's office to actually create and build more non-credit pathway to credit through either prior learning assessments or direct program matriculation. This way, as our learner collect these micro-credentials from PCS, they may be able to use them to get either credit towards undergrad or graduate side of degree or certificate program, as we talked about earlier. And this is how I see PCS can continue to add value for our learner and University of Delaware in general.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today, Vic. I'd like to thank you as being our guest on this podcast. I also want to just say that it's been really great having you on because I learned so much more about PCS and about micro-credentialing and things that we offer. So thanks for listening, everybody. This Reimagined podcast provides teaching perspectives related to instructors and students, but will shift toward how technology and innovation add value to the teaching and learning practice. If you like what you heard today, please subscribe. This podcast is where you can always expect to gain ideas from the brilliant guests who will sprinkle their innovative strategies and add a little seasoning to your course design. Thanks so much for listening.